In the book of Revelation, chapter 13, verse 17, it tells us that the time is coming when no man can buy or sell unless he has the mark of the beast. What are we going to do during that time? Well, the good news is God has an answer, and you're about to find out what that is next, so stay right there. Here we go again. Welcome. This is part six of a seven-part series called God, Satan, Money, and You. We've been having some very exciting discussions in programs 1 to 5. This is number 6, and our title is called When No Man Can Buy or Sell. I'm here with my associate, administrative director of Whitehorse Media, Paul Selko. It's been great to just be your friend, get to know you, and go through these programs together. So let's dive in.
Okay.
No man can buy or sell unless he has the mark of the beast. And I think what we're going to do in this segment is we're going to do something very interesting that a lot of people don't think about. We're going to talk about money. We're going to talk about gold, talk about silver, and then move to the time in which we live,
okay,
which is largely the day of the digital dollar.
It is.
And how it's easier to have digital dollars controlled when you, or at least to make, you know, put the pressure on when people can't buy or sell.
That's right.
So let's talk about gold, and then we'll work our way back to our time. Gold and silver. I've been doing a lot of research on this topic, and let's go all the way back to the beginning. So what do we learn from the beginning of the world?
Okay, well, in Genesis chapter 2, verses 10 through 12, it says, "And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from there it was parted and became into four heads. The name of the first was Pison, and that which compassed the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold, and the gold of that land is good. And there was bdellium and onyx stone." So the gold, it says, was good, Steve.
Yeah, this goes all the way back, and it leads my mind to Genesis 1, where at the end of 6 days, in verse 31, God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good.
Yeah.
So everything was perfect, and then we get into chapter 2, like you just read, and there was a beautiful Garden of Eden, and rivers came out of that garden. And one of those rivers went into a certain land called Havilah, and it says there was gold there, and the gold was good. So is gold bad or good?
Well, God created it, and everything he created in the beginning was good.
Yeah, that's right. So there's nothing wrong with gold, nothing wrong with silver, nothing wrong with the precious metals of the earth. The problems in Genesis chapter 3 is that man has changed and women have changed, and that's where
it's
the
man's hearts that aren't so good anymore.
That's right. Here's another interesting text in Haggai chapter 2, verse 8. The Lord says, "The silver is mine and the gold is mine," says the Lord of hosts.
Created it.
That's right. God made it. He made shiny metals, and the New Jerusalem, which is our ultimate home, is going to be sparkly and beautiful, and the streets of the New Jerusalem are going to be gold.
Covered in gold.
So God has a plan, and he put metals in this world, and it's part of his plan. And as I think of this verse, "the silver is mine and the gold is mine," is God's way of saying, "I own the money."
Yeah.
Because when you go back and look at more Bible verses, it's very clear that gold and silver were dominant means of transacting and doing business.
That's right.
So let's look at another verse. I think
so
you have
in 2 Kings chapter 6, there's an example where gold was used to exchange for goods and services. So 2 Kings 6:25, "And there was great famine in Samaria, and behold, they besieged it until an ass's head was sold for 80 pieces of silver, and a fourth part of a cab of dove's dung for 5 pieces of silver." So here, this was in a very difficult time when there was famine and they were being besieged, but they were using silver to transact.
Yeah, the Samaritans were, and they lived in a walled city, and they were being attacked by the Syrians, and because they hadn't been able to go outside of the walls for quite a while, there was a terrible famine. Yeah. And what they were buying and selling there was the head of a donkey and the poop of a dove.
They were starving.
Yeah, that's pretty desperate.
Yeah.
And the point that we're bringing out is not the famine itself, but the fact that they were, you know, they used 80 pieces of silver to buy the donkey's head, and they used 5 pieces of silver to buy the poop of the dove.
Yeah.
And it just, again, it just shows from Scripture that back then, a long time ago, people were using silver, real silver, actual silver.
That was their money.
That's right, as a way of transacting business. Let's go.
And, well, 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 8, there's one more.
Okay.
And when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into the tent and did eat and drink and carried from there the gold and silver and the raiment and went and hid it. So there they were finding gold and silver.
Right. That was how the Syrians did business too.
Yeah.
So the Syrians were attacking the Samaritans, and then God sent a judgment upon them.
Yeah.
And then the lepers left the left Samaria, and they went out into the Assyrian camp. They found that they were
the soldiers were all gone.
That's right. They were gone, and they started pillaging, and they found the silver.
Yeah.
They found it there. That's right. And then they had pangs of conscience. We need to really go back and tell other people what we found.
Right.
So here's another verse in Matthew chapter 26. So it's not just Old Testament times. It's also in the New Testament, verses 14 and 15, we read about Judas, the night when Jesus was crucified. Verse 14 says, "Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests, and he said to him, 'What will you give me? And I will deliver him to you.'" And it says they agreed, this is the chief priests, they agreed with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time, he sought opportunity to betray him. You know, it's just tragic. Probably one of the saddest cases in the Bible is Judas.
Yes.
You know, he was with Jesus during his ministry, but his love of money, he carried the money bag, and his love of money overcame his love for Christ. And he finally decided that he was going to betray him because he realized that Jesus' kingdom was not the kind of kingdom he was looking for. It wasn't a kingdom where he could, become rich and famous. It was a humble kingdom. And so he said, "I want that money." And so he...
That is tragic, Steve, because he gave up the one who created all the silver and gold for a little bit of silver.
That's right. And again, for our discussion, one point, I guess the biggest point is don't put your money above the Lord.
That's right.
But another point is that, again, that it just shows that silver was used as a medium of exchange all throughout the Bible, in the New Testament as well.
And Acts
that's right. We see this in the book of Acts.
Acts chapter 3, verse 6. And this is a verse we all know of it well. This is about Peter. "And Peter said, 'Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.'" So he didn't have, in this case, Peter didn't have silver or gold.
That's right. He was a poor fisherman.
But the beggar there was expecting maybe some gold or silver.
That's right, because that's the way that's what they used as money.
Yeah.
Same thing. So here's the beggar. He's outside the temple, and he's got his little bucket, and he's hoping for some money. And then Peter comes, and he's hoping, put a little silver in here or put a little gold in here. And then Peter just said, "I don't have any silver. I don't have any gold, but I've got something better." He said, "In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk." And then the man did rise up, and he was so happy. And a lot of lessons for us in that. Again, you don't have to have a lot of money. You can be poor. God can still bless you and work with you and use you. And he did that with Peter in a mighty way, and he healed him through Peter's through the channel of Peter. But again, it shows that gold and silver was something that they were very familiar with back then.
And the Apostle Paul, too, in Acts chapter 20, verse 33 and 34. Let's look at that.
Okay.
This is Paul now speaking. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, you yourselves know that these hands have ministered to my necessities and to them that were with me. So he's talking about not coveting other people's gold and silver. Yeah. He worked himself, didn't he?
That's right. And he worked to build, to make tents. He was a tent maker. Mm-hmm. And he, I'm guessing, he probably, if he built a really good tent, you know, maybe he charged some silver for it, right, or a little bit of gold for it. If it was a really good one, maybe he got some gold for
it. Right.
But the point was that it's not that it's bad to have gold or silver, but the point is that Paul didn't covet other people's gold or silver, but he worked himself to earn a living, and
right,
he did that. Here's another text in Acts 19 in Ephesus through the preaching of Paul. A whole group of people that had occult books, you know, witchcraft books, spell books. They took them all together, and they had a big bonfire in Acts 19:19 in Ephesus. And it says, many of them also which used magic arts, they brought their books together, and they burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it to be 50,000 pieces of silver.
Wow.
So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. So here's another example. When they added it all up, they didn't, you know, they didn't use a different monetary valuation.
Mm-hmm.
They said this, all these books were worth 50,000 pieces of silver. So I think we've made our point.
I think we did.
I think we've made a pretty good point here that gold and silver was certainly used in Bible days. I've got a couple quotes here from Councils on Stewardship. I've shared a number of quotes from this book during this series. You've shared quotes from this book. I've been really getting a lot out of this. This book is available now from White Horse Media if you want to be blessed by getting this. On page 65, it says here that the Lord has imparted to us heaven's richest treasure in giving us Jesus. And we all need to understand that. Never forget that Jesus Christ, that there's no treasure in this world that compares to Jesus. And then it says, with him, he has given us all things richly to enjoy, the productions of the earth, the bountiful harvests, the treasures of gold and silver are his gifts. So there's nothing wrong with gold and silver. In fact, this says that it's a gift of God. It's a gift that comes from Jesus. And again, he's the greatest treasure more than anything else because he's the giver of everything. Here's one more quote from page 198. And this really impressed me. It says, our gold and silver, our most precious earthly possessions, our highest mental and spiritual endowments will be freely devoted to him who loved us and gave himself for us.
Mm-hmm.
So the principle is that when we really see the beauty of Jesus, the love of Jesus, everything he's done for us and giving his life on the cross, we give him everything. And that includes our lives, our property, our houses, if we have any land, our orchards, our gardens, our money, if we have any gold or if we have any silver, which is not wrong to have. This is also to be dedicated to him.
To use for God's glory.
That's right, to use for God's glory. I'm reminded also of James chapter 5 when it talks about the rich men. It says, go to now, you rich men, weep and howl for the miseries that will come upon you.
Right.
It says, your gold and your silver are cankered, and the rust of them will bear witness against you on the last day. And as I've read that passage very carefully, I've been impressed that the gold and silver got them rich. And the problem wasn't the gold and the silver. The problem was they hoarded it and that they were not treating their employees properly. And it also just impressed me with the fact that gold and silver is going to have value all the way to the end of the world because that's what the rich man have.
Mm-hmm.
Another quick text, Zephaniah 1 verse 18, which is a balancing text on this, it says that their silver and their gold will not be able to deliver them.
Right.
In the day of the Lord's wrath.
Our trust needs to be in Jesus
Christ.
That's
right. Our trust is in Jesus Christ. Our trust is in God. We can't let the things of this world or the money of this world become our God or our idol. But on the other hand, it doesn't mean these things are wrong.
Mm-hmm.
The issue is, how do we use them? Are we tied to them? Are these our idols? Or are we giving them to the Lord to be used for his work and to meet legitimate needs. Show me what you've got here, Paul. You've got an interesting, some little props we'd like to show people.
Well, this is kind of interesting. This is an American, I guess they call it a silver dollar. An American eagle, that's the word I was trying to think of. It's an American silver eagle, silver dollar. And it's 1 ounce of pure silver, and it's worth a dollar on the face value, but it's worth more than a dollar, isn't it, Steve?
Yeah, today I checked recently, and what they call the spot price of silver, it's selling for about $20 an ounce.
So this coin is worth about $20.
That's right. It says $1, but if you actually... If you bring it to
sell
the market,
it on the market. That's right.
Yeah, if you sell it or if you take it to Walmart, I imagine they would, I assume they would take it.
Yeah, well, at one point, this is what even Americans used to take to the supermarket in exchange for goods, right? But as that became too cumbersome, they moved into what they call a silver certificate. Now, Steve, this looks like a dollar. Looks very much like the dollars we use today, doesn't it? But it's not. I found this on my travels, and I had to buy this, and it's very interesting. This is dated 1957, and on the top, do you see what it says?
And let's see. Let me see if I can show this to you. I don't know if you can see it, but it's on the top it says, this is a silver certificate. This certifies that there is on deposit in the Treasury of the United States of America $1 in silver payable to the bearer on demand.
So basically,
so what does that mean?
When you're carrying this piece of paper, it equals this.
Okay.
So if you're a bank, and I came to you and I said, or a bank, or wherever I traded this in of the day, and I said, I want that piece of silver, and I'm going to redeem that with this. That would be an equal trade, according to what this says on.
So this is really like an IOU. It's a certificate.
It's a certificate.
That this is worth this.
And there actually is physical silver.
That's right. So if I had this in 1957, I was born in 1959. So if I, had one of these when I was 10, 11, 12, 13, still had one of these, I could bring it back to a bank and I could get one of these. So one for one.
That's right. I don't know if you could do that anymore today, but
I don't think so.
Because our dollar and this
now there's a current dollar.
This is a current dollar. Now, what's different about this current dollar? It doesn't say silver certificate on the top. It says Federal Reserve Note. Now, Steve, what does that mean, Federal Reserve Note? That's interesting.
Well, that means that it's a creation of the Federal Reserve in connection with the United States Treasury and the government, our current system of central banking.
Right.
And so now
it's not backed by silver.
Yeah,
or gold
now
anymore.
It's not backed by silver. It's not backed by gold. It's backed by the full faith and the credit of the United States government, which. To me, it's a big question mark in my mind that our government has a $31 trillion debt, which is not good. But anyway, it used to be a silver certificate, and now it's a Federal Reserve note. And I'm not saying that this is not of any value today, but the value is a lot less, right? Because this is now selling for about
$20.
And this is worth $1. But they're both $1. Mm. And that shows that what used to be a dollar in silver, which is now worth 20, has degenerated in purchasing power. It's lost a lot of purchasing power. Yes. So, it's interesting if you look at the history of the dollar. Well, if you look at the stock market chart, the market's gone up, but the purchasing power of the dollar has gone down. And then we think of inflation, our dollars are worth less, we have to spend more in order to buy different things, but the value of silver and gold has by and large,
remained constant.
Yeah, it's maintained a lot more value.
That's right.
In history and now even today. So what does all this mean for our study? When we started in Revelation chapter 13, we introduced this text, and our title is called When No Man Can Buy or Sell. Revelation 13, verse 16 and 17 tells us that we're moving toward a crisis.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
And why don't you read 16 in the first part of 17?
Okay, it says, he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead, and that no man might by or sell say that he has, save he that has the mark.
Right, and it's not our study here to identify the mark. We have programs, White Horse Media. We have one of our YouTube videos, 7 Facts About the Mark of the Beast. We've done a lot of programs on this. We have literature and books. So we're not going to repeat all of that. But the point is that this time is coming. Mm-hmm. This crisis is coming. And it seems to me from the text that one of the ways that the devil is going to pressure people, or the way he's going to pressure people to go along with the mark, is to threaten to cut off, and he will cut off, their ability to buy or sell. So if you don't go along with the mark, you can't buy or sell. In other words, your retirement account, if you have one, any investment accounts, your money in the bank, money that you get from your employer, if you have a job, whatever, however it's going, we don't know all the details, but all of those avenues of income and purchasing power and your ability to buy and sell are going to be just eliminated.
Steve, 20 years ago, that seemed almost inconceivable how that could happen in the United States, a free country. How in the world could they do that? Today, that doesn't seem so far-fetched, does it?
No, it doesn't. And I'm not saying that it couldn't have happened years ago. And again, we don't know all the details, but it sure seems to me, and this is what I've been impressed with, is that when you look at history and you look at how they've used real money or hard money, mm-hmm. and you look at the shift today to paper money, to digital currency, digital dollars, yeah. this shift makes it easier for the devil to work behind the scenes and to flick the switch and to cut off your ability to buy or sell because you're dependent upon the system. Now, I can't say for sure, but it seems to me that if we had more of these, we might be able to do business at least a little bit longer when the mark of the beast is enforced. I think, having a garden is good, having mm-hmm. some produce is good. There's a whole discussion these days about whether cryptocurrency, I think there's a dark side of cryptocurrency and a bright side. From what I've read, the people that are involved in developing blockchain and cryptocurrencies, these people are freedom fighters, and they're hoping to develop a system of doing business and transaction outside of the control of an oppressive government. And it's possible that God may use that as a way of continuing to buy and sell for a while during the crisis. He may use, real money if we have real money. But eventually, everything is going to be cut off. And our ultimate hope and trust needs to be somewhere else.
That's right.
That's right. It can't be in money. These days with credit cards, you could go to Walmart, you could buy your produce, and you could slice your card, through the little slider, and it could easily come up declined. Your card's declined. Then what do? You go onto your bank account and you're all of a sudden locked out. Then what do? You're let's say you're on government checks, but then the you get a notice from the government that says because you're not going along with the mark of the beast, they won't use that terminology, but something like that.
It's easy to conceive how it can happen.
That's
Steve,
right.
It's interesting. Not that long ago, I was checking my balance on my online banking account. It says your available balance is X amount of dollars, and then a really small print said, unless your account is in restricted mode. And I thought, wow, I had never noticed that before. And it prompted me to call the bank and ask them. And they said, well, there can be times when it could be restricted if we're required to do that. So.
And we know that what happened in Canada when the truck drivers didn't go along with certain requirements and they protested, their bank accounts were frozen and cut off.
Yeah.
So we can see the trend. And again, the purpose of our study is simply to show that we've changed. Our world has changed in how we're doing business. And I believe we're being slowly set up for a time when we are so dependent upon digital dollars that we can easily be cut off and pressured to go along with the mark of the beast. So when the mark of the beast is enforced, what do we do? Let's look at Matthew chapter 6 and the time we've got left, verses 19 to 21. What does that say?
It says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust does corrupt, but where thieves can break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust does corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also."
That's right. It seems to me that when the mark of the beast is finally enforced, we need to have a proper attitude toward money and toward buying and selling. And we need to have a mindset that Jesus and God and the Bible is more important to us than the things of this world. And if our mind is up there, then when things get cut off down here, we will be able, we won't panic, we won't have a meltdown, we won't have like the stock market has a crash, you know, we won't have a crash. We'll be able to trust in the Lord, to trust in Jesus, to trust in God, and to know that He's going to bring us through, and that our ultimate treasures are in heaven. Now, it's interesting, Paul, in verse 19, Jesus doesn't say, don't lay up any treasures on earth. He says, don't lay up for yourselves any treasures on earth. Right. That's the key, is are we selfish with the goods that we have, or are they in the hands of God? Verse 20, but lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven. It's actually even good for us. And how do we do that? How do we lay up treasure in heaven? By putting God first, by being a good influence, by paying our tithes and offerings, by helping other people, by investing in the kingdom of God and in the salvation of souls. You know, that should be our number one and our top priority.
Amen.
We are definitely living in apocalyptic times. We are moving toward the time when nobody can buy or sell. Our world has changed. It's changing rapidly into a digital world. And may God help us to get ready with the right mindset so that if everything gets cut off, our home is the New Jerusalem, and we're ready to go as we wait for Jesus to return and get us out of here.
We hope you enjoyed this video. Before you go, check out these wonderful books for sharing. The Truth About the Sabbath is packed with information for anyone wanting to understand the Sabbath subject. Also, the 666 Beast Identified. What it means to you identifies both the beast and his strange number 666. What do the beast and his number have to do with you? Both are available in paperback and ebook versions from Whitehorse Media.
We hope you've been blessed by this Whitehorse Media production. To support Whitehorse Media, please call us at 1-800-78-BIBLE. That's 1-800-782-4253. You may also send your donations by mail to Whitehorse Media, P.O. Box 130, Priest River, Idaho 83856, or donate online at whitehorsemedia.com.
And now for some breaking news. Whitehorse Media has just launched its new free online Bible school, Thunder in the Holy Land, filmed in Israel to help you and others discover the true teachings of God's Word. To learn more, visit WhitehorseMediaBibleSchool.com. You'll be glad you did.